So guys, it's good to be with you again. And I hope you have a wonderful day today, whatever you're up to. And enjoy. Do not phone me at midnight and wish me a happy new year. I'll be in my bed. I'm an older man now. So Father, thank you for all your goodness throughout this last year. Lord, we're in awe of you. You're wonderful. Thank you for a million little miracles that we see all the time, Lord. Thank you for that. We bless you, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord, as we look at your word. Help us to fit ourselves for service in your kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For many, many, many years, every last Sunday of the year, I have spoken on the subject of hope. And on the first Sunday of the year, I will teach on the second coming of Jesus. And I've done that for many, many, many years. Because you don't know, and I don't know, that this coming year might be the one where we see the Lord come. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to be with the Lord. I look forward to that day so much. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about hope today. So if you're listening through the website or through some other device or whatever you're doing, wherever you are in the world, and we know there are people out there listening, then we pray you'd be blessed too. But for those of us who are gathered here today, let's pin our ears back and have a think about this. Lots of people get confused when we talk about the subject of hope. Okay? For some people, they hope they win the lottery. That's their idea of hope. For other people, they hope something doesn't happen. For some people, they think if you cross your fingers and your toes and your eyes and anything else you can cross, that's an expression of hope. No, it's not. In Lamentations 3, 21 to 25, there's a book you all go to all the time. This is what it says. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. It's a great scripture, isn't it? Now, we love the bit, and we're so familiar with the bit that says the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. In fact, we used to sing the song, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. But we're not so familiar with this idea that we will hope in him. And that's so important. The word hope is the Hebrew word tikva. You want to try that with someone? Tikva. Now, say them, never knew you spoke Hebrew. That's what it means. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what it means. And it means an expectation, more than that, a yearning, more than that, an eager awaiting and looking hopefully in a particular direction. It's the word, believe it or not, that's used for the rope that was hung out of Rahab's window in Jericho, where her hope was on deliverance when the Israelites came and the city fell. Tikva. In Psalm 71, verse 5, we're told that God is the hope of the godly. That's a great statement. You see, biblical hope rests on God's promises, not in anything you can do. It rests on God's promises completely. And particularly, are you ready for this? Those relating to Christ's return. Oh. So hope is an extension of our faith. And our faith is, we could say, the present possession of God's grace. When I became a believer, a follower of Jesus, I didn't even have faith to put faith in him. Even that was a gift of God. Isn't that incredible? We talk about, don't we, making a decision for Christ, which is a complete nonsense, because Christ made a decision for us. He came from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. We didn't decide for him. He decided for us. And because of that, we responded to this great love that's been given. But we didn't even have the faith to respond. God gifted that to us as well. How wonderful is that? When you start to drill into this, it just blows your socks off. It's incredible. You see, hope is the confidence in grace's future accomplishment. Your life is going somewhere. You may not think so, but it's going somewhere. And if you're a student of world affairs, you will notice that history seems to be narrowing. In other words, it's coming to a conclusion. It's heading in a direction. We have a planet that's groaning and breaking. Okay? We have political unrest all over our world. We have a lack of solutions to the world's needs. We are running out of the ability to deal with these things ourselves. It's coming to a conclusion. Something is about to happen. And hope is our confident expectancy that Jesus will come again and put all things right. But it stands for both the act of hoping and for the thing that you're hoping for. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, from the Voice translation, you might not be familiar with that one, it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Eternal, plans for peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Never forget that. I love that translation of that scripture. To give you a future and a hope, never forget that. See, hope doesn't arise from your desire or your wishes. It comes from God himself. He is the believer's hope. He is our hope. And it distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever who doesn't have any hope. During lockdown, Kath and I were in Banbury. We went to pastor a church in Banbury and introduced ourselves to the church. And 2 days later, lockdown happened, and we never, never had a church service in the entire time we were there. It was incredible. It was bizarre. Everything was on Zoom. Not a physical meeting happened at all. And it was in the time where you could only go a certain distance. You remember that? Well, we had little Roxy, our dog, at that time, and so she needed to go for a walk. And right next door to where we were living was a graveyard, a big one. And it was wonderful. It was laid out in grids. It was very well organized. And people would go for a walk through there, but it was like Pac-Man. You know, people would turn back and go down another road so that you didn't bump into anyone. It was really funny. And so we got used to this. And as we did this, you know, reading all these grave headstones and things like that. Graveyards are fascinating places, by the way. And I realized something that I thought I realized but didn't realize. You ever had one of those moments? A kind of epiphany? And it was simply this, that this was the richest place in the town. Because in those graves was loads and loads of God-given potential that had never seen the light of day. Because people had never realized what God had called them to. People had never stepped out in the giftings that God had given to them. And they'd gone to their graves with all of that potential unrealized. That's the richest place in town. Earth is a flying graveyard in the universe. It's full of the walking dead, those who don't know Jesus. The Bible says are dead in their sins. This is the biggest flying graveyard in the universe. And yet, we have an enormous hope, a tremendous hope, because of Jesus. In Colossians 1:27, again I'm reading from the Voice. It says, he decided to make known to them his blessings to the nations. The glorious riches of this mystery is the indwelling of the anointed in you, the very hope of glory. In you, the hope of glory. Isn't that amazing? All of that needs to see the light of day, because this hope comes from his calling. It comes from his grace. It comes from his word. It comes from his gospel. And it's in you, the hope of glory. And it's designed to be shared with other people. May 2024 be a year of sharing the hope of glory with those around us. But many people feel that they've got nothing to look forward to in this life. Ever met someone like that? It's really sad when they feel like that. And there's nothing so devastating as losing hope. It's a horrible feeling. It's a terrible place to be. And if we're honest, we've all lost hope at some point in our life. There may very well be people today who are feeling a little hopeless in a situation. Can't see a chink of light, can't see any way out of this. And so you start to negative talk, and you believe the light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming towards you and about to run you over. And all that negative thinking just builds and builds and builds. But never give up on hope, because for us as believers, the whole of the Christian life, in other words, following Jesus, is essentially a life of hope. That's the hope we have as God's kids. And it's necessary to us, just like oxygen is necessary to our human bodies. And when we lose all hope, we're overcome with all of these negative feelings, senselessness and purposelessness and despair, and it can destroy your very life. And it takes the lives of so many people. But do you know that the word hope in the New Testament alone occurs 52 times. And it's always in the New Testament alone connected in some way to God, because he's the author of this hope. In the New Living Translation in Romans 15:13, we read this. I pray that God, the source of hope, wasn't that great? The source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13 from the New Living Translation. And over and over and over again, we see that hope's connected with our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God gives us hope. Sometimes when we get frightened, and don't you dare pretend that's not you, because we all get a little frightened from time to time. Sometimes when things get out of control, we are tempted to negative talk. Well, David fought a 9-foot-6-inch giant, and he beat him. God was with David. There's no need to be afraid when God is on your side. And if you read carefully the story of David and Goliath, there's a little bit in there that everybody misses. And it's when David is approaching the giant, it says, and he ran to meet him. Didn't hang about. He ran to meet him. Let's deal with this. Let's get this done. He ran to meet him. And after Goliath came down, He chopped his head off. This giant's not getting up again. And when we're in a negative place and we're losing hope, run to meet that situation, because God is with you. And chop the head off that situation so that it doesn't get up and cause you more problems. The greatest devastation for any culture is not that it will be forgotten, but rather that it will become forgetful. See, we're wandering aimlessly in a deep state of amnesia right now, as a nation, as a world. And the greatest thing we need is not to be forgetful. You see, don't forget the gospel. The nation's forgotten that. Don't forget the Holy Spirit. The church has forgotten that. Don't forget the Great Commission, where Jesus says, we are the ones, there is no plan B. This generation is the responsibility of this generation of believers. There's nobody else to do this. No plan B. Don't forget that. And the role of the church in society, don't forget that. Holiness, don't forget that. The gifts of the Spirit, don't forget that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, don't forget that. There are those who have no hope. There are those who have false hope. And there are those who have true hope. That's the three categories of people that we have in the world. It really has nothing to do with language or race or anything else. It has to do with hope. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or what you look like or anything else. That's irrelevant. It has to do with hope. Whether you have no hope or false hope or true hope. That's what it's all about. Let's look at these in turn just briefly. Those who have no hope. Well, Jesus tells a story about this, doesn't he? About a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and a foolish man who cut corners and built his house upon the sand. And when the storms of life came, not might come, came, yeah? Life can be a bumpy place every now and then. When you have no foundation, it will crash down. Years ago, in one of my trips to the United States, I was in Santa Monica Beach, and they have an amazing sandcastle competition there. It's stunning. It really is works of art, stunning stuff. And some of them are like humongous things. And they're beautiful to look at, but they're not there the next morning. Because when the tide comes in, it washes it all away. There's no concreteness to that. And lots of us are trying to live our life without concreteness. We have a beautiful show going on. But when the tide comes in, when the storm comes, there's nothing left. Who wants to build like that? No, we want to be like the wise man who built on the rock, whose house stands. Those who have false hope are more numerous and worse off than those who have no hope. You see, false hope is far worse than no hope at all. Why do I say that? Because false hope seems to be self-sufficient until testing comes. And then it all collapses. Years ago, I remember talking to a friend of mine in another church, and he was bemoaning the fact that people were coming and going really quickly. They were coming in droves, and they were leaving in droves. And he somewhat humorously said they were contemplating fitting a revolving door on the church, which would make it a lot easier. But he was really upset about this. And as we talked about it, he realized that what they were doing there in that church is they were really saying, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. That's not the gospel. That's not what it's all about at all. Jesus says, folks, in this world you'll have troubles and persecutions and hardships. He says, they'll even hate you because they hated me. You see, we have to help people see the truth of the gospel, and that's where real hope is found. Those who have false hope are not built on a firm foundation. They're like that foolish man who built on the sand. Like the addict who thinks at any time they can quit drugs. That's a false hope. Or the thief who thinks they can steal without consequences. That's a false hope. Or the church member who thinks that baptism or membership or getting involved is all that's necessary for salvation. That's a false hope. Or those who believe in religions without Christ. That's a false hope. Or those who believe in a second chance beyond this present life. That's a false hope. See, a true hope is in Titus 2:13 in the New Living Translation, where it says this: we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Who's looking forward to that day? Amen. Come on. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Always makes me think of the song, I Can Only Imagine. It's incredible. When I listen to that song, tears well up. Amazing. What's it going to be like to stand in his presence? Listening to another song by Casting Crowns, it says, the only scars in heaven, okay, are in the hands that hold me now. Not me, but in his hands. Isn't that amazing? True hope is when the realities of this next world and the future are perfectly aligned. You see, it's about certainty. In Romans 5, 3 to 5, again in the New Living Translation, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Get out of here. No, really. Really. This is well worth listening to. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Do you? Do you know how dearly God loves you? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with hope. But there's one more thing we need to say. Hope is not enough. We need trust to accompany it. And the Hebrew word for trust is the word chasa. You want to try that with someone? Chasa. Your Hebrew is really coming on. And it means to make someone, not something, not some place, someone, your refuge. So that's why I say, when people say to me, Ken, do you have faith for this? I say, probably not. I have faith in someone, not in something. Yeah? My faith is in Jesus, not in circumstances. That's what he's saying here. Make someone, Jesus, your refuge. Not church, not religion, not anything, but Jesus, make him your refuge. And the middle verse of the Bible, let's end this morning with this. In Psalm 118, verse 8, that's it. That's the middle verse of the entire Bible. This is great. Listen to this. It is better to take refuge in Adonai than to trust in man. That's from the Jewish New Testament. It is better to take refuge in Adonai, which means Lord, okay, than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in Jesus than to trust in man. Well, next week we're going to start the year by talking about the second coming and really getting excited about that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your word. Thank you for this safe place that we can gather as your sons and daughters. And we can come together as family in our front room at the end of a week, and we can celebrate our great God. Lord, our hope is in you. Would you help us to really grasp this concept? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.